Our very high divorce rate seems to indicate that few of us have discovered the secret to a successful relationship. But according to a new study, the answer could be simpler than any of us have thought. We asked a few experts in the field to share their secrets.
And now, it's time for Marriage Beyond the Vows on Praise.
And very good morning to you. Welcome to today's edition of Marriage Beyond the Vows. We thank you so much for joining us on this super Saturday morning. You could have been anywhere on your radio dial, but we're certainly glad you decided to stop by here. I'm your co-host, Tiffany Bacon, and here's the number to call. We'd like you to be a part of our discussion today, 855-454-5905. Today, we're talking about the Beyond the Unfair Affair, broken home, broken dreams, and now you have to pick up the pieces. So give us a call, 855-454-5905. Now here's your host with the most, Mr. Marcos Mercado. Good morning, Marcos. How are you?
Good morning, Tiffany, and good morning to all our friends who are listening to us this morning. We're so glad that you decided to join us. And as always, we want to begin with a word of prayer. Our God in heaven, Father, we love you and we thank you. Even during the times that are challenging, Father, we do pray that you help us to see things the way you see them, help us to be strong and persevere, and help us to have great relationships. We love you, God. We thank you so much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And as always, we hope and pray that today's program will enrich, empower, and encourage you towards having a great relationship. And our theme scripture for today comes from Galatians chapter 6. And I'll start reading here. It says, "Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the spirit from that spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." And in the Message translation, it says, "Don't be misled. No one makes a fool of God. What a person plants, he will harvest. The person who plants selfishness, ignoring the needs of others, ignoring God, harvest a crop of weeds, and he'll have to show for his life is weeds. But the one who plants in response to God, letting God's spirit do the growth work in him, harvest a crop of real life, eternal life." And you know what? We're talking about the affair, the unfair affair. And, you know, sometimes we think that what we do, it's secret and no one will find out and it won't hurt anyone. Mm-hmm. But, you know, here you made some vows before God. You break your vows. You go outside of the marriage bed, defile the marriage bed. And then there are consequences. And usually the very first person to be hurt is your spouse. Mm-hmm. Their home is broken. The dream is broken. If you have children, the family is broken up. Mm-hmm. And now you feel like you have to pick up the pieces. And Tiffany, I've seen it on both sides. Mm-hmm. I've seen it where the wife is the one that is putting up with the unfaithful husband. Mm-hmm. And she's trying to figure out, right, what do we do now? As a matter of fact, in many cases, you know, if someone's unfaithful, the wife finds out, usually it's because something happens and it's exposed. Then she has to pick up her life. She has to deal with it. She has to decide, okay, can I forgive you? Can we move on? You know, in some cases, there are children outside of that marriage. And now they have to pick up the pieces. But I've also seen it with the husbands. I've had to, you know, father a child that is not sure that's their own child. Mm-hmm. And so it really is very difficult. And it seems so unfair. Mm-hmm. And that's why we are talking about Beyond the Unfair Affair.
All right, so we want to hear from you at 855-454-5905. That's the number to call. So, Marcos, when counseling couples, what is the reason that one or the other spouse gives for starting?
You know what? I think that actually there are a number of reasons, and they're reasons. They're not excuses. They're actually reasons. Mm-hmm. I think, number one, there are some people who are just very promiscuous. They're living that lifestyle. They don't know how to remain faithful. And I tell people all the time, if they're not faithful before, what makes you think that all of a sudden, you know, you marry someone and they're going to change and become faithful? And if they're not faithful to God, they're definitely not going to be faithful to you. Mm-hmm. And so I think number one is just people give in to their fleshly desires. They want more. That desire for lust is not quenched. And so they go out there. But usually, believe it or not, that is a very small number of the people that we encounter and we end up counseling. Now, there are those who are addicted to sex and just cannot seem to keep it together. You know, they're unfaithful. But others are just going hungry. And what I mean by going hungry is in their hearts, they feel like their spouses are not meeting their needs. And so they're going out there and they're just vulnerable to someone else. And this could be husband or wife. You know, they're not getting their needs met by their spouse. And sometimes they're not even deliberately looking, but someone else comes along. They meet that need. A coworker, an ex-girlfriend, an ex-boyfriend, someone on Facebook. I mean, you name it. There are ways. And the devil knows. You leave him open door. He's going to take it every single time. And so what happens is we encounter people who a lot of times, you know, they're very regretful. They want to kind of pick up the pieces. Like I said before, their spouse finds out. They're realizing their marriage could be over. They don't want their marriage to be over. Many of them are professing to be Christians. They're like, okay, I didn't do it your way, but now I want you to bless my life. And you're just trying to help them pick up the pieces so often.
All right. Good stuff. So we want to hear from you. Give us a call. The number is 855-454-5905. We have Dwight calling in on line one, calling in from Philly, actually, from line one. Hi, Dwight. Good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. Thank you so much.
Okay. I'm calling. My wife, she suggested that we listen to Marriage Beyond the Vows. And I have two things that are going on in our relationship. Right now, I'm a little nervous, but...
don't worry, Dwight. We just welcome to a program. We keep it real here. And your wife is seems like she's very fond of our show. So thank you so much for that. We keep it very biblical. So just tell us what's going on. Just talk.
Okay. Well, my wife thinks there's infidelity on my part. And I told her, I said, well, let's take a lie detector test. I was washing her car, and I found a letter. She had went to a marriage counselor.
Okay.
And with this bishop, but this bishop is trying to... seduce my wife. I found a letter saying start arguments with your husband, and he want to get married to my wife. The thing of it is I don't understand why this she going to counselor and this bishop. I found two letters. I'm trying to figure out why she constantly arguing with me about stuff. And I found a reason why, because it's due to the letter that I found. Two letters from this bishop.
Okay, let me ask you something. Did you confront your wife on these letters?
Yes,
you found?
My wife is listening right now.
Okay. Well, put her on for a second. Is she there with you?
Yeah. She's here with me.
Just put her on so we can have a conversation for a minute.
Okay, you want me to put on a speakerphone, or you just want to talk to her individually?
Just put her on real quick individually. You can be right next to her, but it's just a little clearer instead of putting it on the speaker.
Hello.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
Good. Quick question. So your husband had mentioned, we're about to take a break. I just wanted to start this conversation here. Your husband mentioned that he found these letters. Is that accurate?
Yes.
Okay, so the bishop has been trying to connect with you in some kind of sexual way?
Yes, but actually my husband didn't tell you the whole story. What happened is that my husband, I found out, like, we haven't been married that long, and I found out that he was having affairs. And so what happened, he was having affairs before we got married. And so I found out after we had, you know, said I do.
Mm-hmm.
So what I did was I looked for those similar patterns while we got married. And when the patterns seemed the same and I was confronting him with issues of infidelity, he kept denying it. But I kept seeing, like, phone numbers from women. We have a rental property that was vacant, and I found a bed over there with covers and pillows and sheets. So to me, it's like you're still doing the same behaviors, but I just didn't catch you in the act, but the behavior is still the same. So, of course, that made me feel like some type of way, and I felt as though I needed outside attention. And it was unfortunate that he found the letters, but to me, I felt like you cheated on me. I needed to get revenge and move on, too.
Okay. So, and you know that saying, right? Two wrongs don't make a right. So this is what I would like to do. And if you don't mind, I know your husband's name is Dwight. And would you mind just giving us your name or what you
want to say?
Sure,
Lisa.
Lisa. Okay. Lisa, we're going to take a quick break. I want you to stay on the line because I'm going to address what you're discussing here, the infidelity, and especially the wanting to get the revenge and all that stuff. So please stay on the line. We'll be right back in just a moment.
All right. So we don't want you to touch that dial. The number to reach us to talk about our subject today is 855-454-5905. Stay right there. Marriage Beyond the Vows continues after this.
Beyond the Vows.
Call 855-454-5905 and get in on the conversation. We're praised. And a very good morning to you. We are in the midst of a discussion called Beyond the Unfair Affair, Broken Home, Broken Dreams, and Now You Have to Pick Up the Pieces. We want to hear from you at 855-454-5905. But before the break, we were in the middle of a discussion with Dwight and his wife, so we're going to return to them. Dwight, are you there?
I think Lisa, are you there?
Oh, Lisa, I'm sorry. Lisa, are you there?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you so much for holding and waiting patiently. So before the break, we were talking. First, your husband called in, and I do want to say thank you to both of you for listening. And it seems like you're trying to figure this out. It's obvious that you're both hurt. Things are going on in your marriage, but you're obviously together. You're listening together. And so you had mentioned that because of your husband's patterns, you really are more than suspecting. You're seeing a lot of signs of him being unfaithful. And then you went ahead and felt like you wanted to be vengeful and kind of give him a taste of his own medicine. So did you actually have an affair with his bishop?
No, I was heading that way. Like I said, I had caught my husband over other women's houses. I didn't get a chance to mention it, but I caught him over other women's houses. I had told him to stop communicating with a lot of his ex-girlfriends and his ex-wife. He was still doing those type of things.
Okay.
So there's a lot of hurt here. Then before we got married, there was suspect that he had made this girl pregnant who was already married. Mm. And then I found out, because I stepped to her and her husband and found out that she was not pregnant by my husband. But, you know, I'm looking in the back of my mind, you have unprotected sex. You have him with these other women. I told him to leave alone.
Hold on one second, Lisa. So this happened before marriage and you still married him?
The only thing that happened before marriage, because I asked him before we got married, I said, is there anything you need to discuss with me before we get married?
Mm-hmm.
The only thing he told me was that it was a girl that alleged that he was the father of her child.
Okay.
So then I said, okay, if that's the worst that is happening before we get married, I go into the marriage knowing that. And I really thought that that was the only thing, especially after I confronted her and her husband and let her husband know, and then her husband told me, well, they're taking fertility pills, and he had the results, and this, that, and the other. So I said, okay.
Okay.
So it's really not his child. So I let that go. But I thought that that was the only issue. What I did was, me being an investigator, I should have did this before I said I do, but mm-hmm. I started, like, seeing signs because the girl was telling me all the things that he was doing when they were having an affair before we got married. And I said, okay, so I looked for those patterns because I worked two jobs, and I think a lot of times he was taking advantage of the times when I was working a second job and he was going out dating other women, and
okay.
He likes to go to bars and clubs. And see, I'm saved, and I feel some type of way about that. And he'll rather go to a bar and a club and look at scantily clad, you know, dressed women dressed the way they do, and lust and look and stare at them, as opposed to sitting in the church and listening to a sermon from our pastor.
Okay, I got that. All right. Now, here, Lisa, I want to make sure we keep it really focused. I know there's a lot there.
Mm-hmm.
But let's go back for a minute. Now, let's just say, and we'll talk to Dwight, your husband Dwight, in just a moment. But let's just say everything that you're allegedly claiming is true, right? He's unfaithful. He's unfaithful man back and forth all over the place. What happened with you when you said you wanted to be vengeful, you wanted to have revenge, your revenge, and so you started this inappropriate, I would say, relationship, because maybe it didn't lead to sex yet, but it was definitely inappropriate if you found these letters with you and this bishop.
Right, but what I told him is that I wanted a man that was saved and had what would keep me in the right direction. I told him, I said, I know I'm supposed to follow my husband, but I can't have a head of my household that's unsaved, unfaithful, have lust issues, alcohol issues. I can't.
I got you, Lisa, but weren't you going down the same pattern? Now you have a man who was willing to wreck a home, who's claiming to be a man of God, and is sending you inappropriate letters and conversations. I mean, wouldn't you be repeating the same cycle all over again?
I didn't look at it like that. I just looked at it like this man is saved and he would do the right thing and he wouldn't have all these multiple women with unprotected sex and he wouldn't be doing these things that he's doing. My husband is not saved. He say he is, but with his pattern, he's not, and he has a lust issue.
But I would say the same for this other guy, for this bishop, because, I mean, bottom line is this, Lisa. I want to encourage you, you know, in a marriage, you know, this is bigger than a marriage. You keep mentioning, you know, you want someone that's saved. Most importantly, if we're not living the way Jesus is calling us to live, how do we expect things to work? You know, in this case, God is calling you to be the righteous one. Now, that doesn't mean your husband doesn't have to repent and be righteous. That's his cross to carry, and we'll talk to Dwight in just a moment. But for you, you know the good you ought to do. You know, the book of James says that in James 4:17, that anyone who knows the good that he ought to do and doesn't do it sins. Knowing that you still have a responsibility before God, whether your husband does it or not, to remain faithful. Now my question, and I want to kind of change the tone for a minute and go to your husband, but before we go to Dwight, let me ask you this. You've had these issues. Your husband's been unfaithful, but you're obviously with him. You're listening this morning. You're both together. You're still living like husband and wife, correct? Does that mean you've forgiven your husband?
No, not really. I told him I want a divorce, and he keeps telling me he's not going to give me a divorce. He wants to work it out. And I told him the only way I would work it out with him is if God himself came down and told me to work it out with him.
Okay. Himself coming down, or will he just send you clear signals?
He can send me signals,
okay,
dreams,
right.
Visions, usually songs, something. But I told him that would be the only way I would have to hear from God directly to tell me, because I don't want to be one of those women 20 years down the line looking back and saying, what have I done? I saw the signs. God sent me the signals, and I still hung into a marriage with a man that was unfaithful, and look at all I've been through.
Okay, Lisa, I want to ask you one more question, and it's personal. You're saying that you don't want to be with your husband. Would you mind telling us, have you and your husband been intimate lately?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, I can be intimate with him, but still deep down inside hold resentment.
I know, but if you're saying you're going to divorce him and you're intimate with him and you're saying about all this unprotected sex, you're sending mixed signals to your husband. You're saying, I don't want you, but I want you. I'm going to divorce you, but we'll sleep together.
Okay.
You have to be really clear. Let's talk to Dwight for a minute, if you don't mind putting him back on.
Okay, hold on.
Thank you.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Marriage Beyond the Vows on Praise, Your Inspiration
Station.
Hello,
yes, I'm back.
All right, Dwight. So here, we had an opportunity to speak to your wife, Lisa. Thank you so much. And so what about what she had mentioned? Is it true that you've had these affairs?
No. What it is the basis is... No, I didn't have affairs. I turned around, and that's why I told her, let's take a lie detector test. You don't want to take a lie detector test because normally the accuser is the one that accused the accuser, you know what I mean? Because I done found stuff, you know, like rubbers in the car, and one time she had, I had dialed her, and I heard her saying that she's nice and relaxed and everything, because my wife, she got a strong sex drive, and she
okay.
said that if I don't give her, you know, what she wants, she's going to seek it with somebody else.
Okay.
Now, she bring in the previous relationship. I say, well, why didn't you, you know, before we got married, I said, why didn't you ain't check out all these women that you say that I had an affair with? And the only reason she know about these women, because I let her know about these women, because she accused me of having affairs with my ex-wife. I gave her the number to my ex-wife, which was the wrong thing.
Okay.
Then next thing you know, I would tell them about these other women that I had in the past. My wife, she made triple money what I make, and mm-hmm. her thing is a money thing. She see this bishop, he say that he going to propose to her, give her a 7-8-carat ring, but take her to London and all this other stuff. He got money. She's about money.
Wow.
The real thing is she trying to hook up with somebody, because I asked her, why did you marry me then? She up there saying, well, she didn't say nothing about love. She's saying about investment. She sees this guy as investment. She want to see... She wanna be with a man who got money right. to be give her the things
Dwight,
that she
Dwight,
wants.
Let me cut in for a minute here. I understand. The same thing I was telling your wife. You know, somebody has to decide to be like Jesus.
Well, she's the one. She's up there telling me that I'm not. I'm going to her church. I don't like her church, but it's a money-hungry church. They ask for they. I don't mind paying tithes off and all that. They're up there talking about seed money and everything. Now, I go to her church. I want her to go to my church. You know what I mean? I'm not as strong as a Christian as she says that. Most of the time, I tell her, I'm at home all the time. Mm-hmm. I sleep with you every night, every weekend. We there together. But she's trying to get with this guy that got all this money. He claimed to be a millionaire, and she want to be with a millionaire.
All right, you're going to a different direction though. Here, look, here's the problem.
Wait, hold it. I just want to say there's no infidelity on my part. That's why I told her let's take a lie detector test. Take a lie detector test.
All right, what is that going to solve, though? I mean, if you take a lie detector test, then you feel like, all right, I'm right, you're wrong. Like, bottom line is this. God is not the center of your marriage. It's so obvious. I mean, the way that you're talking about each other, I mean, it's like you have to make a decision whether you want the marriage or don't want the marriage. She says she wants the divorce. You're saying, I don't want to give you a divorce. But then you don't trust her, and you're saying she wants to be with some. Like, what you're saying and your actions are contradicting each other. And so let me share something with you here. And this is for you, but this is for everyone else in that situation. Proverbs 4:23 says, above all else. You know, when the Bible says above all else, it's saying, put this on the top of the list. It says, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. You guys have heart issues. That's the problem. When you're pointing the finger and you're not realizing, wait a minute, you chose this woman. You right. married her. You have to live with her. And if she hasn't been unfaithful, you guys got to figure out how to make this work. And it starts with Jesus being the foundation. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You're saying, okay, I don't want to go to her church, whatever. This is your personal relationship with God. This is not even about church.
Okay.
All right. But look, I want to say thank you to you both, Dwight and your wife, Lisa. Make that decision. Make sure that if Christ is the foundation of your marriage, I mean, look, you can call us back a few weeks later and your marriage will be totally different.
Okay.
All right. And I want to encourage you, a practical thing, after you get off the phone, spend some time praying with your wife.
All right. Thank you.
All right, Dwight. Thanks so much. Be blessed.
Take care. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Marriage Beyond the Vows on Praise Your Inspiration Station. We are talking about Beyond the Unfair Affair. The number to call in with questions or a comment, 855-454-5905. Let's take a trip down to Charlotte and speak with Eve on line 2. Eve, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning. Hi. Thank you so much for taking my call this morning.
Thank you for calling us.
I love listening to your show. I did have a question.
Sure.
My husband and I have been separated for 6 years. It was his decision, not mine. And we live in different states right now. I went back to see my family in Houston,
mm-hmm.
and because I didn't have family here in Charlotte. I saw him, but there was nothing there towards him. I mean, I love him because he is the father of my adult children, but I don't have that type of love that I had towards him when we were married.
Okay.
I'm in church, and I'm pretty new in ministry and in church.
Okay.
And I decided that I was just going to stay separated. I'm not in a relationship. I don't have a boyfriend. I don't have any of that, and I really don't have a desire for any of those. I just really want a closer walk with the Lord.
Okay.
And but it seems as if it's looked to be wrong because I chose to stay separated, even though it's been 6 years, and I'm not concerned about what he's doing. He's never addressed me to say that he wanted to have a divorce or anything like that, and even though we don't have any type of connection or conversation or anything.
Okay.
But I'm having issues.
Okay. Well, let me address this, Eve. Let's start here in the beginning. Your husband asked for the separation, right? You didn't want it.
Yes.
What was his reason?
He wouldn't give me one, but I know signs. I'm not naive to know that he wanted to be single, to live a single life. I understood that. I saw that it was shown in the way that he treated me.
And he moved out?
Yes, he left. He would leave and go to, like, a hotel and stay or anything like that. I never accused him.
Now, has he communicated wanting to get back together?
No, he's never communicated.
Okay. You know, what I would encourage you is very simple. It's what Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 7, and he actually gives the advice for the saved, you know, right now the relationship that you're building with God. It says if your husband decides to leave, then let him leave. He wants to stay. So it really sounds like the ball is more in his court. Now, to mention what you said earlier, where you feel like you don't have any emotions, any feelings for him, any love, you know, I don't think you have hatred towards him, but you just don't feel like, okay, I'm in love with this man. That doesn't dictate marriage. I mean, if we were to go by our emotions and when we're upset with each other and we don't feel love, we feel like separating or divorcing, then, you know, we will all be divorced, right? Because everybody goes through that. However, it needs to be based on something a lot more than your emotions, which is the Bible. And the Bible simply says, look, if your husband right now, if he hasn't been unfaithful or if you've been faithful, the two of you should be able to work on your marriage. And 1 Corinthians 7 just literally talks about everything, even separation and how separation shouldn't be indefinitely. It should be a time for you to come back together. And so it sounds like there's some real honest conversation you and your husband need to have. If he decides he wants to be out of the marriage and leave, then it says let him leave. But if he decides he wants to work it out, then I think as a Christian wife, it's your responsibility to figure out what God wants. And it sounds like he'll want you together. God doesn't want divorce. But it sounds like the ball's really in his court. He's the one that left. He's the one that doesn't sound like he wants the relationship. And again, I would want to be clear. I'm not saying you beg him to come back. I'm just saying, look, what does he want to do? Because it's been 6 years.
He did indicate last year that he likes to be single, but even though he's not really single, he's separated.
Okay.
And I think the biggest issue for me is that in ministry, the way it's looked upon is I need to make a decision. Either I'm going to be married or divorced. And it's kind of hard for me right now to decide on what I want to do, only because I still believe that that apparently if he didn't file for a divorce, there must be something that he wants to still do in reference to a marriage. But I don't know how long that's going to be since it's been 6 years and
Absolutely.
We don't communicate.
But this is what I think, Eve. If you don't have communication, if you're not having a conversation, all you're doing is speculating. This is too important to speculate. You need to be able to say, listen, come to Charlotte, or if you make a trip to Houston, sit down someplace, talk face-to-face, and figure out what you're both going to do. You're both adults. You're trying to move on with your life. And it's not fair for him to be so immature, 6 years, not sure what he wants. His actions are already telling you anyway. It's not like he's saying, listen, I really want you back. I figured out I made a mistake. It sounds like he's moved on with his life, but it's hard for him to come to the reality that he's actually getting divorced. That's what it sounds like to me. So I encourage you, make sure you have what we call courageous conversations. You sit with him and you ask the right questions. And at the end of that conversation, and before you go there, you pray, you fast, and you say, God, make it clear what you want, and leave it up to him. If your husband says, you know, I don't know, whatever, then you have your answer. He needs to be clear about what he wants. The only way you're going to be able to have a marriage is if he decides to fight for this marriage as well.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, Eve, I hope this helps you.
I'm sorry. I go there next month.
I'm sorry?
I go to Houston next month.
Oh, you go next month. So there you go. That's the time you need to have that one-on-one conversation with him.
Okay.
All right, Eve.
All right.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much for calling us this morning.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. Take care.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. Again, the phone number to call to reach us is 855-454-5905. Going back to the phones, we have June also calling in from Charlotte on line 3. June, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning. God bless us all.
All right. God bless you as well.
Amen. Well, thank you. What is your comment or question for us this morning?
I wanted to make a comment about the situation of infidelity and the respect of marriage. I was married for over 15 years to a stout Christian. And my husband, my ex-husband at the time, he worked diligently to bring me into the church and bring this man adopted my son at the age of 8 months, and he blessed our home by being in the Word and staying in the Word and praying for us. And, you know, I was a police officer at the time, don't mind saying it, that because of his covering on our house, on our home, and on me, I'm still alive.
Okay. All right. Now, June, I'm sorry to interject. I'm not clear. Are you making a testimony or are you asking a question? I'm not clear.
I stepped out of my marriage, and when I did, there I was under so many attacks, and God took my family away from me. I lost my family. It was devastating. It has been 10 years now, and I just have to say to women and to men, a marriage is nothing to play with. It's nothing to go back and forth with. I'll have an affair here and be forgiven. You can't do that. I almost lost my life through suicide.
Wow.
Because of what I did to my family. And, you know, I thank God today. I can't love a man the way that I love this man. And I don't know what I was doing.
Well, what were you thinking? I mean, I know you're saying that you don't know what you were doing, but what was going on in your life at that moment that you stepped out on your marriage?
You know, my life was blessed. I didn't understand what a blessing was.
Mm.
I didn't understand that everything I had was God-given.
I got you. You know that have you gotten any counseling? Because there's such a thing, and I've encountered this a few times, actually, when someone is so loved, so blessed by God, and they sabotage what God has given them. It's almost like they can't accept
exactly
the love.
That's what it was, yes.
And it sounds like, you know, you really do need some help and some healing, but even some practical life application, you know, issues that you have. Because it's like, if not, you'll never be able to accept the love of God. You know, it's not deserving. It sounds like you found this great man who loved you, and you turned your back on him. And that can be an indication of even how you view God. God is the one that ultimately blessed you, and you turned your back on God.
Yeah,
however, the beauty of it, and this is where you need to focus, June, is that God still loves you no matter what.
Yes, I know.
So,
I know. I had 5 years after out of my marriage, I found myself at a point where I couldn't get a grip on anything. I lost my job. I lost my family. I lost everything. And I was at a point where I can't live like this. And really, it was that I could not live without God. And as I said, I was about to take my own life, and God stepped in, and he let me know that I was asking for forgiveness, I receive forgiveness and I receive love. That's the love and that's the understanding that I have been living with for the past 10 years.
Wow.
I stay in the Word of God. That's the only lead I have.
Absolutely.
And some things happened to me when I was growing up, not terrible like most people, but those things
set
the groundwork for how I would enter my marriage.
Yeah. Well, you know, June, that's the unfortunate part. But I tell you, it's so encouraging to hear that God intervened, which he does, right? And he helped you to see that it wasn't hopeless and that you can change. And you said it's been 10 years. So thank you so much, June, for sharing that amazing testimony with us.
Body.
We thank you. Okay. All right, June, be blessed. Thank you so much for sharing.
Take care. All right. The number again, just want to remind you, if you have a comment or a question, it's 855-454-5905. We have Tracy on the line from Philadelphia. Tracy, good morning. You're live on the air.
Hi.
How are you?
Oh, wonderful. I love your show. I was just calling my neighbor.
Great. Wait, real quick, Tracy, if you don't mind, can you turn your radio or television down in the background? We're getting some feedback.
Oh, I don't have anything on.
Oh, okay. No, that sounds better. Okay. We just heard some feedback there. All right, so Tracy, well, thank you. Thank you for calling in. Thank you for listening to us. We're discussing the unfairness of having an affair and how it breaks up your home.
Well, mine is a comment for Lisa.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. My comment is, if she's having so much problems with her husband, deal with the certainty. Don't deal with the uncertainty, which is the bishop. Mm-hmm. The bishop's supposed to be the overseer. And if he is doing this, then who do you go to? Don't go to the bishop. Go to God.
Of course. But you know what? She went to the bishop because she wanted some attention. She knew what she was looking for. I tell you what happens, Tracy, is that sometimes people's view of life and of marriage is so warped, and that's what I got from, you know, that conversation. And I hope and pray they decide that Jesus will be the foundation of their life, of their lives, and their marriage. But you're right. I mean, why would she go to this bishop who's trying to get with her?
That's correct. And he's supposed to be the overseer. So tell her the biggest devils are in the church and the bishop. I'm shame on him because he's making other bishops look bad.
Yeah.
Shame on the bishop.
Absolutely. All right, Tracy. Well, thank you so much for calling in.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Have a blessed day.
Have a blessed day.
You too. You too. This is Marriage Beyond the Vows on Praise Your Inspiration Station. And our phone number is 855-454-5905.
All right. Well, you know, we got some more calls coming in. I think our producer Larry's trying to juggle a few of them here and seeing who's next. But in the meantime, I just want to say, look, we're talking about the unfairness of having an affair and how it affects everyone. But here's the reality. If you want things to be fair, then you're in the wrong relationship, right? Mm-hmm. Because marriage is not supposed to be fair. Now, I'm not saying that your marriage is supposed to be broken up or anything like that. But at the same time, we have to make sure that we are doing the right thing no matter what's done to us. Mm-hmm. It seems like the common thread this morning has been, well, you know what? If my spouse has wronged me, then I guess I have the right to wrong them. Mm-hmm. And we're forgetting about God. Mm-hmm. That, mm-hmm. look, when you're not wronging your spouse, you're wronging God ultimately. All right?
Okay. All right, so let's get back to the phones. On line one, we have an anonymous caller from Charlotte. Good morning. You're live on the air.
Hello.
Caller, good morning. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Good morning.
Hi, how are you? Good. So you're calling us from Charlotte. What is your comment or question for us today?
I'm actually calling from Cherry Hill.
Okay.
Sorry, we have the wrong call in there.
Calling us anonymously?
Yes.
Okay. All right, no problem. So what is your comment or question for us?
Is this marriage beyond the vows?
Yes, it is.
You're talking to Marcos Mercado, and Tiffany's here right with me.
Oh, hi. Yes, I actually had a comment to make. I was not saved originally when me and my boyfriend were dating. Mm-hmm. And then I had emergency brain surgery that lasted for 27 hours, and he stood by my side. And through that situation, God just showed me unconditional love, which is what I needed to see. And I was actually 4.5 months pregnant when all this happened. So it's a miracle that I'm alive, that my baby made it. But through that
Wow.
It actually just showed me conditional love. He stood by my side and helped me to walk again, helped me to talk again, get all my speech and mind in order. But now that we are married, I have rededicated my life back to God. And now he has seen a change in me completely. And everything is wonderful and great, but I'm still struggling with the aftermath of the 27-hour brain surgery. So I'm still just kind of trying to get in order the, what is it called, like the mental part of it. Because now my emotions and, you know, my anxiety and everything is amplified, and I have a tendency to take it out on him, and I don't want to do that. You know, I don't want to ruin what God has blessed me with. So that's where we're at now, because it's like a new baby, new marriage, new mind, new spiritual, you know, enlightenment on my part. So I've really just been struggling lately with the, you know, not pushing him away in the midst
absolutely.
Of.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And let me just say, I mean, what a testimony, what amazing, amazing life story you have. The fact that you could tell about it, and you can, you know, not only live to tell about it, but you're speaking very clearly, eloquently.
Yeah.
I mean, you're good. I understand what you're saying, though. There are some aftermath. And let me tell you, even without brain surgery, we have issues, right? We have emotional challenges. So two things I want to share with you. There are actually two passages, if you could write them down and really keep them on the forefront of your household and your heart.
Okay.
Ephesians 4, verse 2 says, be completely humble and gentle. Be patient.
Yeah.
Bearing with one another in love, and how the importance of being patient. And then Colossians 3:13 says, bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. Just remembering that in your situation, I mean, I think for every marriage, but especially what you've been through, you're going to have to be so patient with each other, because even in your case, you can feel like, all right, your husband has to be the one to be patient.
Yeah.
But there are going to be times that his frustration is going to come
out. Yeah, that's where we're at.
And you're just going to have to put God over and over again where he belongs, knowing that, you know what, in a lot of ways, I mean, it's the miracle of God that you're alive, that your child is alive.
Yeah.
And so really treasure those moments.
Yeah.
And don't let the devil take away what God has given you.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, no, you're right. I appreciate it. I needed to hear that. Thank you so much.
No, amen. Well, thank you. And thank you for sharing an amazing, amazing.
No, miracle. You're welcome. God is so good. And
he
so
sure
awesome.
Is. He is all the
still
time.
Performing miracles.
Amen.
It's amazing. It is absolutely amazing.
All right.
So thank you guys so much. I enjoyed listening to you.
Thank you for listening, and thank you for calling.
All right.
Take care. Bye-bye. All right, we don't want you to touch that dial. We're about to venture into the second half of our program today. But don't forget to visit us on Facebook. Go to Facebook.com and look for Marriage Beyond the Vows. We're going to find out what people are saying on the book in just a matter of minutes. So stay put. Marriage Beyond the Vows returns after this.